Welcome back to Bears Recap, brought to you by United Airlines. And during the bye week, we usually get a chance to visit with the Bears chairman, among other things, as we said, recovering lawyer, recovering TV journalist. We miss you in the business, but you made the right decision. George McCaskey joining us here on set. How are you, sir?
Good. I don't miss the business.
No, you probably don't. There are times we wish we would miss it, too. How's mom doing, by the way?
She's doing very well. She caught me, you caught me on the air congratulating Dan on becoming a grandma.
Yes, we're waiting for that.
Soon, so
we're wondering if he's going to call in sick sometime. I'll be out here all alone, but I'll call in the old TV journalist to join me out here.
Yeah.
So how are you? And when we were visiting, a year ago, this business is one in which, you have to stay in the moment, but still kind of have an eye on the future. How are you feeling about where the franchise is, at least from a short-term prospect now compared to where you were the bye week a year ago when there were some turbulent waters going on, I think, in terms of where the team was going itself on the field?
Yeah, well, you asked how mom's doing, and I didn't want to avoid that question. She's doing very well. Disappointed, of course, like we all are in our start. But I think she sees that under Ryan Pace and John Fox, we're headed in the right direction. We knew it would be tough starting out the first 3 weeks against playoff teams.
Yeah.
And we missed a lot of opportunities yesterday. But we like the way this team battles.
Mm-hmm.
They fight. They never consider themselves out of it. And I think that'll help us going forward.
As you look at the last year or two, from your perspective, what have you learned? Because I imagine every day there's something new that comes up that you didn't realize that. What have you learned? I mean, it's kind of the top of mind things that you learned about your job.
Well, one of the things Ted Phillips keeps emphasizing is how difficult it is to win in the NFL and mm-hmm. how precious those victories are. You got to celebrate every victory. You can't dwell on the defeats too long. You got to learn from them, of course,
mm-hmm.
but you got to move forward. And we like the way this team is looking. I think John and Ryan have them pointed in the right direction.
With respect to the other candidates that you interviewed last January during the whole interview process with Ernie Accorsi for the general manager, how quickly did you get the sense that when you sat down with Ryan, he was the right guy? And how much were you familiar with him prior to that interview process?
Well, throughout the process, Ernie kept saying that he kept hearing good things about this kid, he called him, Ryan Pace in New Orleans.
Right.
And the more he heard, the more positive the feedback was. And so as we went through the process before we got to the interview with Ryan, he's just kind of out there, and I didn't know that much about him at all. But Ted Phillips has a good relationship with Mickey Loomis, the general manager in New Orleans, and Mickey spoke very highly of him, didn't want to lose him.
Mm-hmm.
And when the interview was concluded, we all looked at each other as Ryan was walking down the hall saying, "Now we better not let him get away." So we called, and his car was on its way to the airport. We had the car turn around.
Not so fast. Right?
So it worked out very well.
Well, it seems, too, that, as you go along in the business side of things and you look at something like, your studio here, you got that finished, a year or so ago, and you guys are moving things away from the field in the right direction in a lot of different areas as well.
Yeah. We want to be as aggressive and as innovative as we possibly can be. The expansion of Hallis Hall was part of that. And Ryan and John, especially Ryan, brought a lot of new ideas mm-hmm. here. Got a lot of new personnel, a lot of new resources, and it's all focused on what is going to help us win.
And I was going to ask you, when a new regime comes in like that you're excited about, is there a certain carte blanche that they may have? Not to say open checkbook or anything like that, but you mentioned some of the new ideas with nutritionist, a full-time nutritionist being hired, and greater emphasis on some other things that may not have been here previously. Again, how much leeway are they given, in this case, Ryan and John together, with some of the ideas that they have?
Well, I made a point of emphasizing to both of them when they were hired, because I wanted to dispel any lingering notions of the Bears and the McCaskies and the Hallises being cheap. You justify the expense to Ted, and you'll get it. If you need resources and can demonstrate why you need them, you'll get them.
What about, the cafeteria? Now, you mentioned, the nutritionist. Just as important, I guess, is what you tell them what to eat to make sure that they have it available. The players can now come in and take advantage of the cafeteria, whereas before, everybody used to have to run out and run about to try to
get their
a
fast
meal.
Food, right?
Yeah, that was something that we really emphasized in the expansion. It was a 45,000 square foot expansion. And I think the highlight of it is, I mean, the studio's nice here, but the highlight is the dining area, because we had guys eating in cramped quarters. The food was being cooked in the basement. It was being brought up on the only elevator in the building. Now we have an area dedicated to comfortable eating. We've got the nutritionists on board. We've got the food providers that understand we want to provide these guys with the most nutritious food available.
Jiggs's eyes are lighting up now. He wants a piece of that.
It's good stuff.
It always amazes you, though, because you got guys and they always say, well, it's like putting junk food in a Ferrari, or bad gas in a Ferrari. And you have these guys and you pay them a lot of money to stay healthy and stay well. And then they were going out and getting junk food for lunch or whatever. It just makes a lot of sense. And it's amazing how many teams still haven't come around to that, though.
Yeah, it was a strategic decision, a competitive decision. We want these guys to be performing at peak levels. To do that, they got to be putting the right things in their bodies.
All right, can you tell us what a catch is in the NFL these days? How can the league get to better clarification on this? And it just seems to vary from game to game. A few years ago, involving Calvin Johnson, you caught a break on that. Yeah. Yesterday, it seemed as though you didn't, depending on how it's being interpreted. That gets kind of fans kind of up in arms, whether it's for their team or not. Do you see it was addressed once after the playoffs last year? Do you see, continuing attention being paid to this, especially after what we saw yesterday? And there were even other instances previously this season.
Yeah, I don't want to get it into, we're complaining about the officiating. The fact of the matter is we had lots of opportunities yesterday to win the game, and we didn't do it. One of the points that was raised to me was if you're deciding what is a catch, when you slow it down, to count the steps,
right?
that makes it a little bit different analysis. But I was surprised yesterday at the number of reversals. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be indisputable visual evidence that everybody can agree
right. That
call's got to be reversed. And there should be more times when they get it right in the first place, I think.
Well, yep. You know what you got to do? You have to get a seat on that competition committee.
That's where the action is.
It seems like the competition committee guys get what they want.
Yeah, well, they want what's best for the game, mm-hmm. and they're constantly tweaking the rules to make sure that we have the best game possible.
But this is one I think that they tweaked, and they probably should just stay with their original thought process. Remember, it goes all the way back to that whole thing about whether or not a guy is pushed out of bounds. A reception, receivers on the sideline, was he pushed out of bounds or did he? Because would he have come down inbounds
right. Had
you not pushed him as a defender? And it kind of started from there, and then all the rest of the stuff tumbled off of that. And all of a sudden now we have these question marks where they can't – I don't know if any official can honestly say, I'll give you a direct answer on every one of these plays, because every one I think is going to be a little bit different.
Well, the Lions have their own tales of woe about not getting officiating breaks in some pretty significant circumstances. So we're not going to complain about it. We're going to learn from it. And we're going to go forward.
Speaking of learning from something, one of the tough times during the offseason was what you had to do in the Ray McDonald situation. What have you learned out of the signing, the subsequent release, how you handled things? I know you addressed it at the time. You took ownership of it. You stood and faced the music. Since then, any time to reflect and institute certain policies within the franchise going forward and similar situations with players who may have some legal difficulties that you'd consider bringing aboard?
I think we had a good structure and a good process. If I had stuck to my original instincts, the situation never would have arisen. So if there was a lesson learned for me, it was stick with your gut.
Mm-hmm. You look at the Dallas situation, though, and Jerry took probably as much of a leap of faith, I guess you could call it, as anyone. And I guess you have to look at it and say, well,
guys, actually.
They got a collection going. But, at times, I guess you're caught betwixt and between. You want to give a guy a second chance if you think he honestly deserves it. And then you're put in the place of saying, well, okay, now, you're kind of out there along with him. And I can imagine this is very difficult. I remember as a representative of these guys, you recognize situations that were very tough, very difficult to deal with. But you always hope that maybe that second chance somebody takes advantage of it, and in the interim, something else isn't going on.
Yeah. It depends on each situation, the facts and circumstances, the type of person that you have, the information that you have on that person, and what your gut tells you. Mm-hmm. So there may be times when we decide to give somebody a second chance, and there may be times when we decide not to do that.
Speaking of your gut telling you something, when you made this decision to hire John Fox, was it? Did you look at this one and say, you know what, we are in a situation where we've got to get a guy with experience this time around at doing this job. We got to get a guy that has some skins on the wall, has a track record, and understands the situation we might be in at this point.
No, that wasn't it at all. We were determined to get the best possible candidate, regardless of how the process took us to that candidate. But as Ernie Accorsi said, when John Fox became available, that changed the game completely. The only question then, because he had the pelts on the wall, mm-hmm. the only question was the relationship with Ryan and John going to be conducive to mm-hmm. success? So we had to make sure that Ryan was comfortable with him, uh-huh. and they hit it off right away.
How did they, did you guys have an opportunity for them to meet up and sit down and talk, or give us a little behind the scenes on that?
Yeah, after Ryan was hired, right about that time is when John became available. Mm-hmm. So we had an interview with him, and it was the same situation. We all looked at each other when he left the room and said, you know, we think
don't
this
let the car get off the facility.
We think this is our guy, but Ryan, it's got to be right for you. Mm-hmm. So Ryan decided to go out to Denver and have dinner with John. Mm-hmm. And
the rest is history.
Yeah.
The dominoes fell pretty quickly there. Finally, as we let you go, I know when we talked last year, you said every once in a while you'll get your emails from fans, and every once in a while you'll respond to some of them. What kind of fan feedback have you been getting about the new regime since Ryan and John took over? And have you been surprising some people lately with responding to some of those emails? I know when you're out at the games, you're pretty accessible out there.
Yeah, we try to stay connected with the fans because they're the foundation of the franchise. That's very important to us. The sense I get from Bears fans right now is, number one, we think you're headed in the right direction. And number two, we're very much taking a wait-and-see approach.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, and when you look at John, he's old school. You know, not giving the opponent any break, not giving any quarter in terms of information. It reminds me a great deal of your grandfather. And then, you know, because back in the day, see this thing out back here where you have the open area in the back of your practice field, that would have never worked for Coach. You know, because he just said somebody was over the other side with a spyglass.
Right.
So I'm sure John's probably looking at that right now, trying to figure out and get a little screen up there or something.
Yeah, we're pretty secluded here. There is a passenger and freight train line
right.
that goes in the back of the property.
They have to check that out, too.
But that's moving at a pretty good pace, so not too concerned about that.
George, thanks so much for, again, paying us a visit here, as you have over the past couple of years. We appreciate that. And onward and upward. Hopefully it's a great final 10 weeks of the season.
Thanks very much for having me. Go Bears.
All right.
Thanks.
Bears Chairman George McCaskey joining us here on Bears Recap, brought to you by United.